Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply, deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful 12th day of May 2018. We're going to look at distractions and meditation and what that exactly means. But before we do, I want to thank my sponsors who make all this possible. Without their contributions, without their monthly or quarterly donations, this radio program would not be here. I would not be here, and I would not have the honor of communicating with you, of having communion with you, heart-to-heart to communion. So I want to thank them from the bottom of my own heart. And I would like to invite those of you who are not sponsors to join this little fraternity of people who are doing everything they can to serve humankind in the way in which Aspire does, because it does serve so many, many people. And does it change lives? Well, you know, change is a difficult thing to say. I don't know if people in their lives ever really change. I don't know. Some people do, some people don't, but I get a tremendous response from radio, from people who have questions, who are searching and seeking just like you. And I hope that you will help us sustain this radio program and our TV programs that you see on our website at aspire.org. All of them are very, very important. All of them have something to do with serving people, humankind as it were, and helping them, well, get some insight, maybe start a practice, maybe start something that's really, really important. Anyway, go to the website at aspire.org. There you will see support in the middle of the page, that four-letter word. Click on it. A drop-down menu will come in, why support Aspire, and you will get all the particulars and the peculiars of what it means to support Aspire, and I hope that you will. Distractions. We all have them when we are meditating. I have them. Everyone has them. The Buddha had it. Meditation is very interesting. It shows us what we're obsessed and compulsed by. So I get some questions about this, generally every week about meditation, about something. How do I do this? How do I do that? So let me get to the questions. First one comes from Angel, and he does not tell me, or she does not tell me, where they or he or her lives. I'm going to assume it's a male. I'm just going to do that. When I try to meditate, Greg, I get easily disturbed by my thoughts of work, home life, and stuff. I don't know what stuff is, but I can imagine. How do I rid myself of all thoughts and meditate? Angel, I had a saying when I was teaching formally, and I would say this 100 times, it seems like, over the course of a week to my students. And it's simply, if you were as passive towards your thoughts as you are towards what I'm trying to teach you, you'd be awakened by now. Meditation is about passivity towards the parts of us, the thinking parts of us, that are pedestrian in their mentality and have nothing to do with the meaning of our life. If you will notice, Angel, all of the thoughts that you have that are plaguing you right now are thoughts that are about what's going to happen to your body. What's going to happen to it? Is it going to have food? Is it going to have shelter? Is it going to have clothing? Is it going to be able to exist? It's all about the body. Our whole life is about the body. We determine our living, our identity, and everything about ourselves as the body. So when you are thinking in terms of body and you're thinking in terms of people, you're thinking in terms of thoughts, you're thinking in terms of your body. That's all it's about. If you can understand that and appreciate that, then you can, so to speak, ignore it. For the time that you are meditating, it is important to ignore it. Now, I know it is difficult. It is a practice. That's why we call it the practice. You must practice this during the day, even when you're not sitting formally. So when you're sitting formally and these thoughts come upon you and you're watching your breath, or if you're doing the Tibetan pulsing meditations I have offered or the new Tummo meditations that I'm doing, you're keeping a breath cadence, you're keeping a breath pattern, and you have to keep your focus on that pattern. And when your mind wants to come in and interrupt with some kind of distraction, whether it be pleasant or unpleasant, you have to decide at that moment, am I in this to meditate or am I in this to fantasize, to think, to ponder, to worry? This is up to you. You have to decide how this is going to act and interact with yourself. I cannot make that decision for you. But if you decide not to be distracted, and this is why I give my students the Tibetan pulsing meditations and, like I say, the new Tummo, where I guide them through it through breath patterns, this keeps the mind from wandering too much. But it will still wander, because I have students who will say, I don't want to listen to Greg tell me what to do. He's not going to tell me what to do. And yeah, you know, you get a lot of this. No matter what you do with the American public or Westerners, you can't please them and they don't get it anyway. So the whole idea is to watch your breath. And if you're meditating and doing Vipassana meditation, you are just watching your breath. You are not doing anything more than watching the breath. Now, if you can watch your breath and become dispassionate about your thoughts, you have achieved a great deal. Now, let me go a little further and a little deeper. The thoughts that plague us are there because we indulge in them way too much during the course of our waking day when we're not formally sitting in meditation. So when you're meditating, like during, let's say, the morning, and you get up and then you go into your day, it is important for you to keep that meditative stance where you are not placating your emotionality through thought in fear. In fear, desire, ambition, or pride. You are not doing that. This takes practice, because we have been taught just to let our minds have free rein with us. They can think whatever they want, and they can do whatever they want. They can make decisions for us. They can tell us what's right and wrong, good and bad, blah, blah, blah. We've just allowed them to overtake us. Our thoughts just tell us this. Our thoughts just tell us that. And we buy it because it comes from, well, our body, our thoughts, our brain, our emotionality, yada, 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 all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is it's impulse. The truth of the matter is it's emotionality. Now, are you going to sustain your mind through emotionality, or are you going to live through the heart of love? That is crucial, absolutely crucial. When you're not sitting formally and you're out in the world, and your mind wants to stumble and bumble along into one fantasy after another, one worry after another, one concern after another, step back a little bit and watch, where do these thoughts come from? You can do this. Now, the common fear that I've heard people tell me they have is, Angel, that if they are passive towards their thoughts, then they won't know what to do. A new mind will come in. This is so silly, this idea that I'll be an idiot. I'll just be like a plant. And I'll be sick. You are now. So don't worry about it. If you get involved in your meditation and you can let go of your thoughts, a clarity, a new mind will appear. A mind no longer obsessed with right and wrong and good and bad. You will start to self-realize, as we call it in the work. I don't know if I like that word self, but you will begin to realize what is really beyond the self and how to live beyond the self. The quality of your thoughts will change. Mine have changed. Yours will change. It's a practice. So when you catch yourself looking at something from your pedestrian mentality, just go back and watch your breath. Even when you're not sitting formally, just watch your breath. Keep maybe a rubber band on your wrist or something that reminds you to look within yourself, to keep looking within, keep looking within, keep looking within. Keep watching and looking, keep watching and looking, looking within. Just keep that going over and over and over. Eventually, your mind will start to, well, I don't know how long it will take. For me, it took years, but for some people, it doesn't take quite that long, but I'm a pretty slow learner. You begin to find, oh my gosh, the more humble you are, the more, shall we say, compassionate you become, the less your thoughts have attachment to you. Yes, the less. You will start to fall away from common thinking, mediocre mind, and all of a sudden, everything will start to change in your life because you're not living from the body anymore. You're listening to your silence. There are three rules I have for my students: simplicity, solitude, and silence. You achieve those three things inside you, and you will find that your mind changes and your thoughts will be no more. I promise you there'll be no more. Angel, I hope that helped you. I wish you well. If I can do more for you, you know you can always call me. I'm there. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Terry in Los Angeles. She says, Greg, meditation is hard. How can I perfect it? I have so little time in this world. I am so busy. Terry, it isn't hard. Greg and Terry make it hard. We make it difficult. We make it difficult because we complicate our life. We have no simplicity. Everything is a complicated mess of trying to get this into my life, get that out of my life, get this into my daily living, get that out of my daily living. We are in such a rush to get everything that we want the way we want it, and the push to survive and the push to have entertainment and the push for right over wrong and good over bad and all the stuff that we do, we miss what we're doing. We miss the moment we're in. We miss the beauty, the splendor of it all. But you can recapture that. Don't make it hard. Just do it. Get soft inside. By that I mean get pliable, like sponge, and just become absolutely, totally focused on your breath. The breath going in, the breath going out, the breath going in, the breath going out, and find the rhythm. If your outer life is simple, then the solitude is just to keep a rhythm in your breath of going in and out and in and out. Just a soft, even rhythm. When your mind wants to skirt over here or skirt over there, it won't really matter because the mind is just searching for something to obsess us by, to compulse us, to say and do things that are basically entertaining and interesting only to the mind. A song will repeat over and over and over again in your mind. You won't know why, but your unconscious will have grabbed it during the day and get caught in it. And that's how obsessive and compulsive the mind is. I know you don't have a lot of time. I understand. Most people don't. 15, 20 minutes of meditation is about all they can do because of focus and concentration and, of course, time. They won't make room for meditation. If you have to get up at let's say your regular getting up time is at 6 o'clock in the morning and you don't have time during the day to focus and practice, then you're going to have to get up at 5 a.m. and practice your meditation, or 5:30, or whatever works for you. You have to make room for it. It isn't something that you do like an add-on when you feel like it. It isn't like that at all. This is a sacred time. This is your time of solitude, of sitting there quietly, not thinking about what you want, what you don't want, what you think is right, what you think is wrong. It's a quiet time, a very quiet time. The solitude simply means that you're in silence. You're making a chance for silence to come into your life, to be a viable part of your living. This is something that most of us just don't see any advantage to, but believe me, there is. Your focus and concentration will change. The Tibetan pulsing meditations I've offered all have elements of Vipassana meditation and focus. The new Tummo meditations we're doing as a group are very powerful. They are simply about creating a furnace inside the belly and then coaxing up the kundalini from the spine, from the base of the spine up to the crown chakra. As you start to breathe and focus on that, believe me, your relationship with your body, your relationship with your emotions, your relationship with your thoughts will all change. You will no longer be interested in those petty thoughts that you and I once had. And that's why it's hard, because what people are doing, Terry, basically, is they're trying to keep their petty thoughts, their petty thinking while they meditate. They don't want to lose any of their faculties because they think that if they do, they won't be able to function in this quote-unquote culture or society. But that's simply not true. That's not the way it works. You'll be able to function beautifully because instead of thinking, you're going to have deep impressions. Thought will be replaced by impression. You don't want to perfect meditation. You want to enter into meditation. This isn't a skill you perfect. This is not even a chore like most people want to make it. It's an honor. It's a necessity. It is like breathing. You and I must meditate. We must have that breath of spirit in us. That's why I named my efforts Aspire, Breath of Spirit. You enter into meditation by becoming simpler during the day, less complicated, less needy, less wanty. You figure out very deeply in meditation, Terry, that everything is working out just perfectly. Everything is happening just the way it needs to happen without us having to interfere. Once you learn, and this was the breaking point for me, I had to learn through meditation I didn't need to interfere with meditation. I didn't need to interfere with my life. And my thoughts were interlopers to the practice of simplicity. The more I realized that I thought, the more complicated I got. That rhymed, but that's just the way it worked. Now, to see it for what it is, to see it as it is, and to work upon myself in that way, well, that changed how I lived my life, how I went out into the world, how I talked to people, how I dealt with things, because I didn't want to create more and more complications. The simpler a life is, the more simple you can become, less complicated with your desires and your preferences and the things you like and don't like, that all that stuff, the less you are involved in that, the deeper will be your spiritual experience, and you will find your meditation starts to become as easy as breathing, because that's really the sole purpose of it, is to be able to be conscious of the breath. You can do this. Terry, it is a practice, and I don't want you to think of it as perfecting it. Because if you do that, ambition and pride are involved in, you don't need that, because that doesn't help the cause of your meditation at all. I hope that helped you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Gary in San Diego. Can I become enlightened without meditation? I just don't believe I could do the meditations. Gary, we don't meditate to be enlightened. I don't meditate to enlighten. I meditate because I have actually found it is the natural posture and position that I am in. It is the natural posture and position of my entire life. I don't try to be enlightened. You don't try to be enlightened. You are enlightenment. Meditation can help you realize what you truly are. It is not there to be the focus of attention on the idea of some goal. Enlightenment is not the goal of meditation. Meditation is the goal of itself. It's just the way. Now, as far as the benefits, let's say, of being enlightened, that can't be any motivation in you. You will awaken. You can further your awakening and wake up through meditation, and that in itself is a form of enlightenment. I think people have this odd idea of enlightenment that when a person becomes enlightened, that they are different, they are special, they have all the answers, their life is better and easier. If you look at the enlightened masters down through history, starting, let's say, with Buddha and Jesus and Lao Tzu in the way early years, you will see these people had very difficult lives. Buddha had to live in the forest. He couldn't go into the cities at all. People would have killed him. His own brother wanted to kill him. Jesus, we know all about that. Look what happened to Gandhi. So I know this is scaring you. Oh, then why would anybody want to meditate if you're going to get killed for meditating? You can't get into all that. That's complexities. It's about other people's karma, not your karma. When you meditate, you simply meditate for the fact of reaching the other shore. You can do this. It isn't a goal. It will happen. Many beautiful things happen in meditation. You start to forgive. It's one of the first things that happens. You start to see all the poopy stuff you've done in your life. And you start to forgive. Forgive those who were a part of it and yourself for being the source of it. You forgive the whole essence of your life, and pretty soon you're pretty detached from all the circumstances and the falderall of thinking that made you believe that you were this and not that, and that you could go here and not there, and you should feel this over that, and all that other stuff. You just drop it. It is worthless. And you start to recognize the way of the heart and the meaning of the heart. And when you start to understand the nature of that, your mind changes, your relationship to your old mind changes. A new mind is born. A new perspective is gained. A new beauty is realized. And before you know it, everything has changed in your life. So, can you do it without meditation? Forget enlightenment. Start thinking in terms of compassion. If you are seeking compassion, eventually you will have to come to meditation. And after you come to meditation, you will come and realize real love. And you will be forgiven. And that, my dear man, is what life is all about. Really, to be forgiven. I'm out of here. Wow, what was that? I'm out of here. I'm late. Have a wonderful day. Thank you all. Please forgive me, Terry and Gary and Angel. I hope my offerings helped you immensely. Have a wonderful day. Namaste.